Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's finally here. Super Bowl week is upon us. And to help us talk about that, we bring in DeMarcus Ware, former NFL linebacker, 9-time Pro Bowler with the Denver Broncos and the Dallas Cowboys, 138.5 sacks in his career, and also one Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos. DeMarcus, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Hey, doing good, man. Thank you for that intro. I know it's probably good weather down there in Nashville. It's about 35 here, so I know you're enjoying that good weather down there.
It's not a whole lot different here, but the thing about Nashville weather is it can go from 35 to 75 in a hurry. So we'll see. We're kind of hoping all that for that here. But one thing that I know you're involved with, DeMarcus, a new state-of-the-art fitness app called Driven to Win. What can you tell us about that? I'm a guy looking for a good fitness app. What's on the docket there?
Hey, man, I got you, man. As soon as I retired, 3 years in the making, I've been working on some awesome tech that uses augmented reality to where you can actually put the figure right there in the place with you if you're at home, if you're at the gym, and it shows you, you know, exactly how to work out, and it grows with you. Because a lot of the platforms, they actually, you'll plateau after 30 days, you know, you'll lose at 10 or 15, but, you know, it uses machine learning, which is in the iPhone, and, you know, it actually grows with you, and it modifies exercises and everything. And a lot of people, they always say, hey, I can't work out like you. That's why I created home exercises too, home workouts that you can do at home. Make sure you get off the couch. And it's one of those things where I had one back surgery, actually three back surgeries, one neck surgery, and then I retired. And I said, how can I recover and get back to at least, you know, a civilized state? And I did. And people want to know how I did it. So now being able to really just give back, help people, not just the fans from inside of the stadium, but the fans outside of the stadium through fitness, and be almost like that new captain, right? I was a captain for 12 years in the NFL. But now I'm doing it through fitness because I can touch so many people. And this is a project I've been working on for a very, very long time, and launched it in December and just launched a home workouts like a week ago. So just ready for people to get out, stay fit, especially with COVID and the pandemic, and just want them just to download it. It's free, 7 days for free. So they can try it out. I know they'll get results if they stay with it for 7 days. And they just go into the App Store, Apple App Store, type in D2W, which is Driven to Win. They type in D2W, which is Driven to Win, download it, and then the sky's the limit from there.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better than eating three pieces of kale a day like apparently Tom Brady's been doing for the last decade or so. But, DeMarcus, how amazing is it to see that guy performing at this level and doing what he's doing at this age?
Man, it is one of the most amazing things, because I played for 12 years and I still feel it in my body. I know he does too, but I mean, what, him being 42, 43, you know, making the championship, maybe the Super Bowl 10 times, I think. And, you know, winning what, six of those, yeah. Six or seven of those. It's just, that's ridiculous. That's like something that when you say the GOAT, that is the GOAT. And eating that kale, if that's going to get you championship, guess what? I'll eat that kale too. You know, so I just think that, I mean, playing against him, he's one of those guys that control the game, amazing player. But now going from the Patriots to another team that he didn't know and taking them to the Super Bowl, that's what real champions do.
Former NFL linebacker DeMarcus Ware on the line with us. And DeMarcus, obviously winning the Super Bowl with the Broncos in Super Bowl 50, as you look back at that experience in that game and winning that championship, what's your favorite memory from that time? What stands out to you?
You know, I had like a ritual before the season that, you know, every single day I always tapped my face plate that was over my locker. And I said, God, you know, it's me and you today. And I always had my clothes out, and I did the same thing, you know, every single year for 12 years. And that year, I was able to actually be in that locker room, you know, having that almost like that final time of making that pinnacle part of a championship, tapping that nameplate, you know, saying, God, you're with me today, and then going out there and winning that championship. And now when I came back into the locker room at the time, it was nobody in the locker room, and the Super Bowl trophy was sitting there in my locker room. I mean, say in my locker. And that was that moment for me that was like, wow. This, I actually get a little bit of time with this trophy myself right here in my locker. And this that was like that moment for me to like, you know, you made it, you did it. You've done everything that, you know, a football player can do, broke all the records. And now this is that time where you can call yourself a champion.
So, DeMarcus, how good do you think this Tampa Bay front is, and how much of an opportunity do they have to get after Patrick Mahomes with the, you know, the injury situation for the Chiefs at offensive tackle?
That's one of those things where, as a pass rusher, especially with Sue and, you know, Pierre-Paul and Shaq, those guys, I mean, they're licking their chops right now. I know that Patrick Mahomes, he can move around. He's very mobile, so it's going to help him out a lot. But as you prepare for the game, now you're preparing for a guy that you probably have never seen, which is probably the second, third string guy that they will put in there or put a guard and move to left tackle. But that guy is going to be, you know, shivering his in his kneecaps, because these guys, especially coming off of that last game, do you see how they actually played? I mean, they actually like just crushed the other team. And so now they have that natural high going into the game. So it's going to be hard for Kansas City to stop them. And I feel like this defensive line is good as any defensive line that has been in the Super Bowl. And this is going to be that game to watch.
Former NFL great DeMarcus Ware on the line with us, a longtime player with the Cowboys and the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl 50 champion. And DeMarcus, speaking of the pass rush, I mean, the Tennessee Titans here locally finished the year with 19 sacks in the regular season. You had seasons where you had more than 19 sacks by yourself. So we obviously know that's a really low number for a team. Yeah, two seasons where you had more than 19 sacks by yourself. As you look at around the league and just the importance of having a good pass rush, can you win a Super Bowl without being very good in that area? Like, what does it take from a defensive point of view to win a Super Bowl?
You know what? Every game, when you go back and look at pass rush, what has won the football game? The offense, usually both defenses are good, but it's like which team is going to have the best pass rush at the time. Remember when we were 13-3 with the Dallas Cowboys, OCU Manure, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan came in. They won that football game because they just crushed our offensive line that week, right? Same thing with Super Bowl 50. Me, Vaughn, Malik, Derek Wolf. We were going against a 15-1 Carolina Panther team, and we just went in and crushed them because we had great pass rush. And you can see, again, you know, to fast forward to now, look at, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just crushed the other team because their pass rush was so good. They got so much pressure. It didn't matter what the offense was doing. So pass rush is key. And that's going to be the point to watch in this game. Who's going to rush the passer better? Who's going to hit the quarterback the most? And who's going to create those big plays?
Have you ever seen a passing offense as fearsome as you know, what the Chiefs have right now, especially between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and obviously Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball? And maybe in your playing days, what would you say was the closest comparison to that, DeMarcus?
I would say the closest comparison to that is it was probably, you know, at Denver when I played Denver. I was on the Dallas Cowboys, and they came down. I think the game was like 48-51 at the time. And, you know, it was like Demaryius Thomas. It was, it was playing against the Denver Broncos against Peyton Manning. And he was averaging, I think, like 42 points a game. It was ridiculous, right? And just that team playing against the Denver Broncos at that time was, I was like, this is the best team I've ever played against that can score that many points consistently throughout the whole year. And it was with Peyton. I mean, against Peyton at the time. But, you know, I'm glad I got to play with him. And, I mean, that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people don't understand is being consistent like that, like Peyton Manning was. I mean, being a leader, but also being a champion on and off the field. That's what, you know, correlates to also results. And that's why now I have that opportunity to change that over and put that into fitness programs, right? You have, like, the best champion, you have the best leader to lead you in having a fitter life, right? And, I mean, it's 40% of Americans that are obese, especially with, you know, COVID coming in and people not working out as much. You still can get off the couch, you still can be active, but you also can still get those results. Like, any professional athlete can.
Former NFL linebacker with the Dallas Cowboys and Denver Broncos and Super Bowl champion DeMarcus Ware has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Check out his new state-of-the-art fitness app, Driven to Win, on the Apple Store as well. You can check it out and get in shape. DeMarcus, we appreciate you taking time to join us, and thanks for letting us know about your new app. We're looking forward to checking that out.
All right, thank you so much. Check it out for me.
Absolutely.
Download it.
Absolutely. DeMarcus Ware has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. It is amazing. Like, going back to the sack conversation we were having earlier in the show, he had 19 sacks this year for the Titans. He had one year where he finished with 20 by himself and another year where he finished with 19 and a half. Just single-handedly finished with a higher number than the Titans.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff, man. A heck of a player. I thought you were going to say it's amazing how out of shape you are. So,
well, it is that too.
Appreciate that you went a different direction there. I think you download that app.
I think I need to. I mean, I certainly need something to stick with.
And eat kale.
Sure. I don't know if that's going to be happening.
Actually, kale's not that bad. Have you guys ever had kale?
Yeah, it's that bad.
Nah, it's okay. You ever had kale?
No.
No? I mean, you can't have it just by itself, but like a kale salad,
yeah,
with stuff on it.
It's not
horrendous. Tastes pretty good.
Yeah,
but I put a bunch of cheese.
I don't know if I'd say it tastes pretty good, but
well, it depends on all this. It's like, you know, salads are classic. I mean, the way I load them up, they're really not beneficial.
Yeah,
you know, it's just there's lettuce underneath a bunch of cheese and meat and ranch.
Just totally gone at that point. Yeah, that's kind of the way I do it too. But you know, pretty amazing. And DeMarcus Ware, I mean. I think he's eligible for the Hall of Fame next year. Like, he's definitely getting in.
Slam dunk, right?
Yeah, he's got to be.
Slam dunk.
All-decade team from 2000, 2010? Yeah.
Next time we have him on, I got to ask him how the heck Auburn
didn't recruit him.
He was born in Auburn. He played at Auburn High School.
Yeah.
Goes to Troy. Tweener. Yeah. Tweener. He's the anybody who talks about every draft, tweener. Talk about tweeners. Yeah, you know what? When tweeners can play, they can play.
He
watch
can play.
Football.
Yeah.
If they're good, that means something. Jared, when you watch Matthew Stafford and Andy Dalton both pass the ball, tell me if there's a difference. Sorry, I had to get that in.
I know that you did. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Super Bowl. You heard DeMarcus Ware talk about the matchup at the line of scrimmage for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is that the path to victory for the Bucks in this game? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to DeMarcus Ware, former NFL linebacker, for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us at 9 o'clock to get hot and heavy into the Super Bowl. Also, some quarterback movement in the league as well. So all that coming up here on Robbie and Rex Road. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, kale salads are awesome if you do it right. So more confirmation there, Joe Rex Road. Maybe kale salads are the way to go.
I've had good kale salads. I mean, again, a lot of the salad is based on what you put on the salad.
Yes, that is true.
I do make a really nice summer salad, by the way, with spinach. My wife and I love this. Strawberries,
ooh.
Feta, pine nuts, onions, and what are the little oranges? The little help me out, Porth. You know, little mandarin oranges.
Yes, yeah.
Summer salad, awesome salad.
Look at you.
Oh, it's got to have a poppy seed dressing. There you go. There's my little recipe for the day, everybody.
Never had poppy seed dressing.
Oh man,
you gotta watch out for those poppy seeds.
Yeah, well,
you know, back in the day, that my high school baseball coach used to be like, "Yeah, don't be eating anything with poppy seeds in it, because like they could pop you for steroids with it."
Well, like, no, I mean, if you eat enough of these salads that I like to make in the summer, you will fail drug tests. But it's a good salad.
That's the only thing that matters. Screw your drug test.
Testing positive for kale.
Yeah, kale in the system. A lot of poppy seed as well. Joe, we talked to DeMarcus Ware. I think about a really interesting matchup in this game. In Kansas City, they've got some injury problems on the offensive line heading into this game. Maybe potentially some COVID problems as well. Daniel Kilgore, one of the centers that they have on the offensive line right now, kind of being held out. They're going through contact tracing with COVID protocol. Apparently a barbershop incident where the barber tested positive for COVID-19 and he's in contact with it. So not a confirmed positive test or anything like that, but maybe some more damage done through the offensive line for Kansas City's line of scrimmage. And we saw it for Tampa Bay against Green Bay. I mean, they totally destroyed the Packers. A really good Packers offensive line, by the way. all game long. I mean, they were after Aaron Rodgers. Shaq Barrett got in the backfield. Jason Pierre-Paul in the backfield. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons up front. As you look at this game and this matchup, with that offense in Kansas City and all the different things Patrick Mahomes is able to do, is that the path to victory for Tampa Bay, is to affect him at the line of scrimmage, much like the Niners were able to do for three quarters last year in the Super Bowl? Is that the chance that the Bucs have in this game to win?
Yeah, I mean, it makes the game more intriguing to me because, honestly, I think if Kansas City was healthy up front, it's hard to see where the Bucs get stops, enough stops. You know, I mean, we've seen Kansas City toy with people and turn it on in the postseason, but he had Buffalo going in there, and, I mean, it was just – they just rolled them. I do think that because Tampa Bay is so good up front and is on a roll there, and now you have these injuries, that is – it's going to be a big – it's a big, Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid scheme game to try to figure out some things, because as long as Patrick Mahomes can stand and throw, he's gonna hurt that secondary, you know? I mean, they're going to have success, but – they got a chance to really get after him like few teams have been able to this year. For whatever reason, you know, in that one game in Kansas City especially, they had two good games with the Raiders. They lost one of them. But the one in Kansas City, the Raiders were just in his face all day, and it affected him. I don't know that I've seen that other than in that game in Patrick Mahomes' young career. But there was an example of that working. So, I think that makes this game more interesting, frankly, the fact that the Chiefs have these injuries up front.
It does because, you know, this defense has been good all season long. If you're Tampa Bay, they've got a lot of great pieces, and they've been good against the run for the most part. Although that faltered toward the end of the season. But part of the process of getting after Patrick Mahomes is, hey, can you cover Tyreek Hill long enough to get to Mahomes? And the answer to that was no the first time these two teams played. I mean, 13 catches, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns in that game for Tyreek Hill last time.
With a quiet second, third, and fourth
quarter. Yeah, I think over 200 of it came in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. So, that to me, you can get after Mahomes all you want, but if you can't get there before Tyreek Hill is open, that'll make a whole lot of difference. And they were definitely not able to do that last time around.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They can hit you over the top at any point. You know, the Bucs, obviously, Bucs got hit over the top, and Tyreek Hill can do that to anybody. I mean, I would imagine that they would probably be a little more focused there. The problem with the Chiefs is if you devote too much to that, then Travis Kelce will have 11 for 150 and 2 touchdowns on you. You know, he'll just kill you over the middle of the field all day. Play man, play zone, doesn't matter. But I do think Vita Vea is definitely a big deal for them. It's not like Kansas City's run game is really that traditional run game, but they want to have balance, and they've got good backs, and that's one of those things that's part of their offense more than you realize when you watch them. So if Tampa Bay can take that away and put them in, you know, the obvious third down passing situations, then you can tee off and try to get after that offensive line. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs react to these injuries given the opponent on the other side. They're going to have to do some different things.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, Shaq Barrett, if he's able to get in the backfield like he was against Rodgers, because, I mean, even with David Bakhtiari out for the Packers, that's still an offensive line that, quite frankly, totally dominated the Rams the week before. And I was really impressed by the Bucs and their ability to get back there. And you heard DeMarcus Ware in the last segment talk about, you know, sometimes the difference in these games is who gets to the quarterback the most. And this feels like, as good as I think Brady still is at 43 and the weapons that they have offensively, it feels like if they can't get to Mahomes often enough, you're just not even really giving yourself a shot. I think even though the Bucs are equipped to score a lot of points, if you find yourself in a shootout with the Chiefs, I mean, it's hard not to pick the Chiefs in that situation.
Yeah, because I just – Brady was great. Obviously, they build the lead in Lambeau. He was great in the first half. Obviously, the play before halftime was the play of the game.
Yeah.
Then, you know, maybe it's because they're trying to hold on to a lead or whatever, but they were really bad offensively in the second half. He was bad. I think the Chiefs are better on defense than we give them credit for, and they can get after Brady too. You know, Chris Jones can get after Brady. They've got, They've got some good guys in the secondary. I mean, I think that they are going to get some stops in this game. I don't think the Chiefs, or I don't think the Bucs can count on getting to 30 in this game. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I feel like their number one hope here is that they are all over Patrick Mahomes. And it is kind of, it's funny how it works out, because like you said, the Packers were good without Bakhtiari the week before, but that's still, you have these two huge games and you happen to not have to deal with a star left tackle.
Yeah.
That works out pretty well for you.
Antonio Brown looks like he's going to be back in there for the Super Bowl. Did not play in the NFC title game, so you got obviously Evans and Godwin that you feel great about if you're the Bucs, but Antonio Brown back into the mix. Now, you look at him, he went through a four-game stretch to close out the regular season before the last week in New Orleans, where you had a touchdown, touchdown, two touchdowns, and another touchdown. So obviously Brady found him a little bit more often as the season went on, had a game against Atlanta where he was targeted 15 times, had 11 catches. So not the same Antonio Brown in terms of the numbers that we're used to seeing from his days in Pittsburgh, but maybe an X factor in this game. What kind of a game do you think Antonio Brown could have? What have you seen from Antonio Brown when you've watched him since he's come back into play with Tampa?
He hasn't looked like the vintage Antonio Brown, but yeah, he's still a weapon. And we haven't even mentioned Scotty Miller, who, by the way, did Scotty Miller say he's faster than Tyreek Hill? Did I hear that? I didn't see it. I heard that. Have you seen this?
No.
Have you heard this? All right,
I got some news for him.
This is from my news. This is from Brennan at home, and so it may be like something fake on Instagram. But if that's the case, please, please, Scotty Miller, please stop. But he's good.
Yeah,
the rookie's good too. I mean, you know, then Cameron Brate, never talk about him because we always talk about Gronk and. Oh, there's another thing. Did you see
Gronk apparently
he
like
faked his workouts?
Yeah, which is the most Rob Gronkowski thing ever, where
he changed his t-shirt.
In the off-season workout program, you know, you're obviously you're not meeting in person this past off-season. So, you're filming your workouts and like sending them in to your coaches. So apparently Gronk on like one day just does like four or five different workouts, changes his shirt each time and sends them in. I'm sure he's still worked out.
Yeah, he still did the workouts.
Not to the same level. But that, on the other days.
Yeah, that's not the same effectiveness if you do it all in one day, right?
You would think not.
And then the other 4 days, you're at the
just
beach.
Doing whatever you want to.
Now, Gronk hasn't been much. I mean, he'll make like a play a game, you know? But Brate is really good. He's been making big plays. Brady has so many weapons. It's amazing the difference from last year, that awful offense in New England.
Yeah.
And he looked bad, but, you know. It does help to have people around you.
Well, Antonio Brown is going to be a guy that's on the free agent market this offseason.
Please don't say it.
What do you think? If you're the Titans, you take a look?
Absolutely not. Not even a
far away from that guy.
Not a brief glance.
I would have to stay far away from that guy. Look, I think the talent is still there. Now, he's not the same guy. He's older now. There's a lot of baggage with, I mean, like Tom Brady may be the only person that can deal with that guy.
Right.
Because that seemed to be...
That can make that
like,
happen.
That was the plan all along. Like, I know that Bruce Arians acted like, we're not going to sign Antonio Brown. Okay, buddy. I think we knew that was bull crap at the time. That was the plan all along. I do wonder what he gets on the open market. Like, does he stay in Tampa Bay and hang out there with Brady, or does he try to go get another payday? Like, is a team willing to give that guy a lot of money? I wouldn't be.
I mean... I don't know. Look, if he was better, I think for sure a team would have. Once he's in the league again, okay, well. But I don't know. I don't know how there is. You have to at least take it into account, and then what is he as a player now? It's hard to tell. I could see him still having a couple of really good seasons ahead of him, but is it worth all this stuff? And he's – beyond the baggage, I mean, he's got issues, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
it's not just stuff he's done and all these charges and everything. I mean, he's also like his behavior is erratic to say the least.
So, oh yeah,
I don't know. I'd leave him alone.
Yeah,
but someone will probably be interested.
It's going to be very interesting to see, especially like if he goes out and has a big game in the Super Bowl, what the market looks like for a guy like Antonio Brown. But regardless of Antonio Brown, if you're the Titans, you got to take a long, hard look at wide receiver this offseason. What do you do with Corey Davis? If it's not going to be Corey Davis, who's on the table for the Titans to go get? We'll discuss that when we come back What are the options? Which way should the Titans go at wide receiver? We'll come back with that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, we know you're going to watch the big game this Sunday, so do you think you can predict some of the game outcomes? Play Super Picks now at thegamenashville.com, and that means you can predict the answers for the game questions that we put together, and the person that gets the most correct will win a large Orca cooler full of prizes. So get your picks in now for Super Picks, sponsored by Boom Boss, Craft Pizza, and Tap House at thegamenashville.com. The contest will close at the scheduled kickoff time coming up on Sunday, and you must be 21 or over to enter the contest. So make sure you check that out now on thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the offseason for the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, we know one area of high interest will be wide receiver. What happens? Do they make a move with Adam Humphries? What do Corey Davis's plans look like? Do they bring him back into the fold? And Bill Barnwell from ESPN has put together some predictions for 43 NFL wide receivers who could change teams in 2021 NFL free agency. And he's kind of broken it down in different categories. So you've got your number one wide receivers, talking about guys like Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay from the Detroit Lions, some other names in that mix as well. You've got the star guys in the slot like Chris Godwin, the 2020 breakouts, which Corey Davis falls into that category, the veterans, the intriguing pieces, and the best of the rest. So going down to the 2020 breakouts, Corey Davis is at the top of that list for Barnwell. 65 catches, 984 yards, 5 touchdowns. And Barnwell says, you know, for the second year in a row, the Titans might have cost themselves a star player. Lost Jack Conklin last year in free agency. And Barnwell has Corey Davis signing a 4-year, $52 million deal with the Green Bay Packers in this prediction. What do you think of that figure, 4 years and $52 million? If you're the Titans, and if that's the bar, are you willing to pay Corey Davis that amount of money?
What do you think of that figure, Packers fan? If the Packers sign him for 4 years, $52 million, you're saying what?
Oh, I would love it.
That is a lot. That $13 million a year.
It's a lot.
But that's the whole thing with free agency.
You know what Corey Davis could do with Devontae Adams on the other side and Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball? Could be pretty good.
Yeah. No, I mean, he helped himself a lot this year. It's still like whenever you say his stats, I'm like, gosh, it's amazing he didn't end up with 1,000.
I know.
He
was sitting there
on the doorstep at the end. Think about Corey Davis, and absolutely, no one could argue, reasonably argue that the Titans should have even thought about taking his option. But again, that number was 15-7.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, sir. And now we're talking about a multi-year deal that he might get $13 million a year. I think that's a little high. It's amazing how this works because, you know, like that might happen, and then the Titans try to sign somebody else and pay. It's like, why don't you just stay where you are, where you know it works, work that out. But, hey, if a team's willing to go that high, I don't see the Titans being willing to go that high to keep him. Maybe I'm wrong. They got other considerations, as we know, on the free agent front, on the free agents trying to keep front.
So I mentioned, Barnwell's got him going to the Packers, maybe signing that deal. And look, this is all just a guessing game at this point, obviously. But a guy that Barnwell has the Titans going out to get, Marvin Jones from the Detroit Lions, 31 years old, 76 catches last year, 978 yards, 9 touchdowns. Barnwell has him signing a 2-year, $13.5 million deal from the Tennessee Titans. So obviously that would be much cheaper than Corey Davis with very similar production. I mean, you could argue more production for Marvin Jones last year, at least from a touchdown standpoint. What do you think of that? Maybe if the Titans lose Corey Davis, you bring in a guy like Marvin Jones and try a 1-2 punch with A.J. Brown and Marvin Jones. He was very productive in Detroit with Matthew Stafford at quarterback.
It wouldn't be bad. I mean, that's not a bad alternative. A little bit older, maybe not quite as, you know, as physical, maybe a little bit more speed than Corey. Pretty good player. You know, that wouldn't be, and again, if the numbers are in the range, if he's right on this numbers range, Well, again, when you think about everything else you have to worry about, trying to find a pass rush, trying to keep Jonnu Smith, maybe trying to keep Jayon Brown, you know, I mean, a lot of different things that you're trying to figure out with this cap. I mean, if you're talking half salary for Marvin Jones versus Corey Davis, and Corey Davis is fetching that much, then I think you have to look at something like this.
So how much, if you're the Titans, does the running game play into this? Because, look, I've made fun of it a lot heading into last season of Corey Davis.
Now you respect
his ability to block down the field. And we saw it's very important. Corey Davis in the fold, blocking, doing a great job, and also found a way to be a pretty productive wide receiver last year as well. You know, Marvin Jones is a physical guy. I mean, he runs very angrily when he gets the ball after. I don't know how good of a run blocker he is because he's never really had a running back to block for in Detroit. So maybe he comes here and is a great run blocker. We just didn't know it because they never run the ball in Detroit. But how much of that part of it do you factor in if you're the Titans? You need to be able to push the ball down the field, and you need to be able to bring in a wide receiver that's productive. But also, Corey Davis, very good in the running game. And blocking that part of it, obviously, going to continue to be a very big part of what the Titans do offensively.
Yeah. I mean, Derrick Henry will tell you. There's runs where he's like, okay, it's a 20-yarder that turned into a 50-yarder because of Corey. You know, and that is important. That's a big part of this offense. It's also Corey Davis is – I think a big part of why this locker room's good. That's another thing. And I have no idea on that. Marvin Jones never heard anything bad. And like you said, I don't know, but I'm actually Googling Marvin Jones run blocking right now to see if anything comes up. But yeah, I mean, basically four draw plays a game. It's hard to have a real gauge on that with him. But that is something to keep in mind. Like, and it's part of with everything. I think we see Corey Davis fits really well with this team. Not to say he can't go somewhere else and do well. I mean, I think we saw it this year. He's a good player. I agree with you. If he went to Green Bay on the other side of Devontae Adams, I think a lot of guys would like that situation with Aaron Rodgers throwing you the football. But he does fit well here. He fits really well here. And I would say, you know, for Corey Davis, that's something to keep in mind on this whole thing is how much you like it here, the locker room, how much you feel like you're growing as a player within this scheme and it's going to basically stay the same with Todd Downing. How much does that stuff attract him to stay here? Is it worth that multi-year here for like $10 million a year, or is it that important to go get 12 a year somewhere else?
What do you think of a guy like T.Y. Hilton? Also a veteran guy out there, not the same player that he used to be. On the open market, Barnwell's got him going to the Dolphins for a one-year deal for $6 million. You kick the tires on T.Y. Hilton if you're the Titans.
It would feel like
he's done enough damage to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it would feel like the Andre Johnson signing a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, although I think T.Y.'s got a little bit more in the tank than Andre did at the time, but it's worth – I mean, look – You've got to. There's another spot like pass rush, your free agent and draft. I think with the same thing with the receiver, you've got to be deeper there, no matter what. And you're talking about again. Is Humphreys playing any more football? Is Humphreys back with this team? Are you losing Davis? Now all of a sudden you're like AJ Brown and okay, who's next? Khalif Raymond and Cam Batson, who are great stories, but you got to knock those guys down the depth chart. So. That's a really interesting position overall, and I think it makes Corey Davis a high priority. But yeah, I mean, a guy like T.Y. Hilton for that kind of price, I think it's worth talking about. He's certainly caught a lot of passes in this stadium.
He certainly has. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Kinston, who wants to weigh in on the Titans. Kinston, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
What's going on, guys? Nice to talk to you again. Something real quick I was thinking about the defensive coaches. I know you guys want to talk about this. It was a big thing yesterday. But like I said, I'm a fan of the Shane Bourne move for the continuity. But nobody talks about the three coaching staff moves that were made last year. We had a new secondary coach, a new inside linebacker coach, as well as a new defensive coordinator last year. And nobody talks about that. What was something that we heard all year last year? Communication. We saw regression from Byard. Saw regression from Rashawn Evans. So I think Vrabel, just real quick, like I said, I know you guys want to talk about it, but to keep Bowen in there, keep the continuity, instead of bringing in a new guy there would be a third voice in 3 years. Keep with the same guys. Keep with the same coaches on that side of the ball. And I think, you know, for all the people that don't like the move, that continuity with those new coaches, because like I said, we lost Dean Pease, lost Kerry Coons, lost the inside linebacker coach. In year two, I think you're going to see a lot of improvement. Thanks, guys. Eager to know what you think about that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kinston. And, look, that's certainly going to be something. Obviously, continuity, very important to Mike Vrabel. How does that translate on the field next year? Both an offensive coordinator with Todd Downing coming in and Shane Bowen as well. But you mentioned priorities. Like, you're bringing in the same group from a coaching staff, or at least a group that you're very familiar with. How does that affect what your priorities are if you're the Titans and John Robinson this offseason? What would you rather have, taking a shot at another big-name pass rusher or bringing in maybe another wide receiver to pair up with A.J. Brown on the outside, maybe a bigger-name wide receiver? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking about NFL free agency. Going to be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to begin the 9 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that conversation with him. But Joe, we mentioned earlier in the show some names out there for the Titans that maybe you take a look at from a pass rush standpoint, whether it's calling about J.J. Watt and maybe trying for a trade that on that department. Leonard Floyd out there, Shaq Barrett as well, about to be a free agent with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There will be some options for John Robinson to make a move and to take a swing at. And I think both you and I agree, regardless of what they do in free agency, you better be making pass rush a pretty high priority in the draft as well. I mean, that's got to be something that's on the radar for the Titans. So let me ask you this. We spent last segment talking about wide receivers. Allen Robinson is out there. He is probably the biggest name in terms of wide receivers going to the open market. I mean, Kenny Galladay's out there as well, Will Fuller. But Allen Robinson, a very good player. If you're the Titans, which one would you rather see? Would you rather take a shot at a pass rusher again in free agency, or maybe bolster up that receiving room a little bit more and put Allen Robinson next to A.J. Brown for your offense? Which way would you rather go if you're a Titans fan?
All right, before pivoting to that real quick, I don't want to lose Kenston's point there because we don't talk about it enough, about the coaching staff. I think that's a great point about Jim Haslett in for Tyrone McKenzie and Anthony Midgett in for Kerry Combs. You know, when you look at last year and the coaching staff, I think there's a big drop-off. I mean, especially, you know, we obviously see Combs gets the D.C. job. I think Vrabel possibly would have, you know, hired him to be D.C. here. So that's a good point by Kenson. We talk Bowen, but those guys are those are big changes for the defensive staff. And those are positions we talk about regression. Those are the two positions that we've seen it with veterans. As far as this, you know, I don't know about Allen Robinson. It's hard to – I think he's really good, you know. Is he like a big difference maker if he comes here? I don't know. I mean, when you have a guy who is playing with shaky quarterbacks, maybe sometimes you can overinflate how good he is. But I do think he's very good. But what's the cost of him? I mean, to me, if I have a chunk of money after all is said and done, and I've signed who I'm signing, I've cut and lost various people, I think I'm taking that chunk of money to pass rush.
Barnwell's got him signing a 4-year, $84 million deal with the Bears. So yeah. Staying home with Chicago. That's a lot of money.
He's a good player. Is he a $20 million a year player? I don't.
I mean, 102 catches, 1,250 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
In that offense with that quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, like, those numbers are like, okay, good. But then you're like, but he was with the Bears, so it's sort of like, you know, you're like projecting inflation. Like, how much was $50,000 worth 20 years ago? You know, it's the same thing. You're like, how much are those numbers worth in that offense with that quarterback or those quarterbacks? I mean, both of them. So
yeah.
But $20 million a year? Ugh. I don't know, man. I saw Malcolm Butler like do a pretty good job on him all day. Like, you know,
yeah,
good player. He's not, to me, I mean, but this is what happens in free agency. I mean, I don't think Corey Davis is a $13 million a year player either.
People pay.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much this this offseason with the salary cap. I mean, the number's not official yet, but I think they've got a pretty good idea of what it's going to end up at. I wonder how that affects the contracts that these receivers get. But, I mean, it happens every year, regardless of what the salary cap situation looks like. People overpay in free agency. So if you're the Titans, would you rather overpay and take a risk at bringing in a pass rusher or adding to your offense? Because, look, I think most people's immediate response to that is, well, look, go get the pass rusher. Bring in the pass rusher at free agent. But you brought it up last segment. Like, if you lose Corey Davis, nobody knows what the future looks like right now for Adam Humphries. Is he going to play again? If so, are the Titans going to move on from him? And because, I mean, I think if you're the Titans, it's hard to justify paying him the amount of money that he's on the hook for next year based on the production that he's given you so far. So it really is right now A.J. Brown and then kind of everybody else that you're looking at. So, look, maybe that makes you pony up a little bit more for Corey Davis. But even if that's the case, like, you've got to add more than just Corey Davis to that receiving room. So I think two pretty big positions of need heading into this offseason. Yeah, it's just more glaring on the other side of the ball because of how bad it was.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think, I mean, we saw it so little this year, but, man, Humphries in the slot, that was a really nice thing for Tannehill to have when he had it, and he took advantage of it. They had really good chemistry. So if we're assuming that he's not back, and maybe that's taking a leap, but I don't like how the year ended with him, you know, and the concussions, and then certainly leaves a big question about Adam Humphries. I mean, you need a good player in the slot. You know, there's a reason they invested in him, and I think it was a good investment in terms of if he's a healthy player, he's a weapon, and he's a real useful player in this offense. So now you think about replacing that potentially. Not to mention what you have to worry about out the outside and just the overall depth. There could be that room could look way different next year. But how much you invest? You mentioned the cap. Mike Sando, coworker at The Athletic, he had a tweet the other day. He's like, the cap is more overrated than any team in this league. Like, everybody's going to be talking about it, and then teams are still going to pay, and they're going to figure out ways to get around it, and they're going to defer, and, you know, the guys are still going to get paid.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, get a pass rusher over a receiver. We've seen what pass rush can do in the playoffs for teams to make long runs. Tannehill shrinks some in the playoffs, even when he has receivers, so that won't help as much.
Got a little shot into Tannehill there. Well done.
It is. I mean, it's obvious, you know, making a deep run. Like, look right now at the two teams in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they've got great pieces on offense, and that's, especially when Kansas City's involved, that's the main reason they're there. Pass rush also pretty good on both teams as well. That's a major factor.
Yep, and look at the average quarterbacked Niners a year ago, and then what was the best thing about that team? Easily, their defensive front, which was just fantastic, one of the best I've seen. So it's a big factor in a lot of teams that get this far.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, I know Corey Davis is important. There's no way I'm paying him $13.5 million a year when I can pay Marvin Jones around $7 a year. And honestly, you could bring in Marvin Jones and T.Y. Hilton for the price of Corey Davis and end up with a better room.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, that's the thing. Like, you because you have to have depth, you've got to be better at the 4 or 5. That may be. I mean, I don't know if it's exactly those two guys, and these are just Bill Barnwell guessing numbers right now, but he's usually pretty good on this stuff. It may be one of those things where, you know what, sign two guys and have more options. If you get somebody hurt, you got more depth. If Corey Davis is going to fetch that kind of money, you may just have to go somewhere else.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam texts in, says, it's a tough question. I love Allen Robinson, and he's a proven top 10 receiver, but it's tough to trust the Titans to draft pass rushers. I think we have to sign a pass rusher in free agency and a proven one at that. So, Sam, not a lot of faith in the Titans' ability to draft a pass rusher.
I made the joke today, you know, on Twitter. What about, because we have a story about Clowney's recruitment 10 years ago. He was like the biggest recruit in the history of football 10 years ago. What about bringing him back at a reduced rate?
Hey.
Who's going to pay? Like, I can't wait to see who pays him what to play next year.
I mean, there was a great text yesterday at the end of the show from Heidi M. Dixon, who, as we know, a very big fan of yours, Joe Rexroad.
Big fan.
Texts in and says, what price would be acceptable to bring back Joe's Clowney? Figure Joe's mouth is watering just thinking about it.
Joe's mouth watering over Joe's Clowney. Heidi needs to call in sometime. Let's have a little back and forth, Heidi.
Yeah.
You like taking shots at me in the text line, but you know, let's have it out over Joe's Clowney.
What number would you give him to bring him back? Maybe they go that route. Bring Clowney back into the fold.
I would give him
$1.5 million.
I mean, seriously. I would pay for the potential of he heals up and he's some level of player that he has been before. I'd pay him like $3 million.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
It's totally fair.
Absolutely.
I know that they're going to he and his agent are going to be out there like, oh, no, 15 or whatever ridiculous number.
There's zero
chance.
At some
point, people have got to not be fooled anymore, right?
How much do you think he regrets not taking that deal from Cleveland? What was it, $18 million?
I think so.
Ugh.
And multi-year. But, yeah, he still ended up doing all right, given what he gave back. I mean, the thing about him is, just again, the injuries, the accumulation of injuries right now, I mean, you can't possibly be paying that guy even close to double figures, right?
No.
Eight figures. You can't. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I don't think he's got much chance of getting that. But you look, like you said, it's free agency. People do stupid stuff all the time and never count out a team like the New York Jets to come calling and say, hey, Clowney, got some money for you here. Come on, buddy.
He puts out a few workouts on Instagram. He's like, wow, look at that guy. He's 6'6". Look how he runs. And then, the Jets or somebody else.
He's going to be the difference. When we come back, it's that time of the week. Our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us. We'll get into the latest in the NFL with him. Look ahead to the Super Bowl, some quarterback movement as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexrode live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.